Alaska business leaders and individuals are taking their concerns and ideas over the state's fiscal crisis straight to the people. Have they visited your community? Today, we'll hear the plans of three of these organizations. The legislative session is more than half over. Governor Walker and lawmakers are working to find a path to future sustainability, but building consensus to get there is not easy. Coming up, the ideas of those outside of state government advocating for strong action to balance the budget on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by Arctic Wire Rope and Supply, stocking rope, chain, and boat anchors from 5 to 3,000 pounds on the web at arcticwirerope.com. Join the Salmon Project this month as they highlight the salmon lives of Alaskans and communities across the state. Find them on Facebook or visit salmonlife.org to make sure you don't miss these powerful stories. This message sponsored by the Salmon Project. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, welcome to Talk of Alaska. Plan for Alaska, Alaska's future, our Alaska. Are you familiar with these groups? They have been speaking out, holding meetings across the state, and even making videos. They may have different plans for what they think will be the best fiscal policy for the future, or maybe they'll agree. We'll find out. Here in the studio is Diane Kaplan. Diane is the president and CEO of the Rasmussen Foundation. Rasmussen has put the group Plan for Alaska together. Hello, Diane. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you, Lori.
All right. Thanks so much for being in the studio. Also with us today is Helvi Sandvig. Helvi is the president of NANA Development Corporation and is a co-chair of the Alaska's Future Coalition. Hi, Helvi.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here. And also with us today is Drew Kaysen. Drew is a member of the Our Alaska group. Drew, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks so much to this group. All of your groups seem to agree on some basics: cut spending, bring in new revenue, use savings or restructure the permanent fund. One question I had was, why not join forces? Or what do you think it will take to kind of save the state's bacon? Diane, I want to start with you. What does Plan for Alaska want to see done that may differ from Alaska's future and Our Alaska?
We don't have our own plan, so we're not promoting any plan. Our idea that we've put on the table is that Alaskans need to get involved in this conversation, whatever their point of view. We believe all options available to the state need to be on the table, and that includes budget cuts, new revenues, permanent fund, all of it. And we believe the legislature needs to act this year to put a balanced budget that's sustainable in place.
All right, if you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and we are talking with groups who are advocating for strong action on the state's fiscal crisis this year in this legislative session. You can join our conversation at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK, or if you're calling from the Anchorage area, 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Helvi, your group, Alaska's Future, has coalition members that may not always agree on other issues. There's a union leader, a former governor, a state lawmaker, business owners. How did this group come together?
Well, really, I think it's, as Diane said, it's a diverse group of people, Alaskans, all concerned about the future of Alaska. And really, setting aside our individual business interests or perspectives and recognizing, you know, we can all get aligned on what the issues are. And the issue is pretty clear. We don't have sufficient resources to meet the current budgetary needs of the state. And, you know, set aside our personal points of view, our personal political perspectives, and come together as Alaskans and start speaking about the issues facing our state and what some of the options are.
How did you work to sort of build consensus with that diverse group? How long did that take?
It didn't take very long at all. For me, it was about a 10-minute conversation. I sat in and listened to Gunnar Knapp give a presentation on the state of the state. I listened to the Commissioner of Revenue give a presentation on the state of the state. I listened to Ron Duncan, who really spearheaded this group of people looking at the issues, putting it on the table. They were all exactly the same. Here's the math. It doesn't add up. We need to do something different, or Alaska's really going to be at risk.
All right. And Drew, your group, Our Alaska, is comprised of younger Alaskans who are advocating for a sustainable future. What does that look like from a young professional perspective? What are you hoping for?
Well, similarly, as Diane said, we also are not promoting a specific plan. We've got a real diversity of viewpoints. But I think that we came together because we agree in the long term, we want to see a stable economy. We're on the front ends of our careers and, you know, plan on living in Alaska for decades to come. And so we want to be able to continue living here, having careers and enjoying life, you know, enjoying the amenities and different things that come with a strong economy. And so we've got a variety of different, again, plans sort of the individuals within the group have. But what we've been focusing on is education for some of the sort of the basics that we think that all of our groups are probably going to agree or these are some of the things that do need to happen, any of the variety of options we have. And then we also want to serve as a platform to allow our members to step out and sort of speak and help them work on their own on things where they're not necessarily representing the group, but they feel supported and, you know, we participate and we network with each other and everything.
Mm-hmm. We're hearing from three groups who are looking for substantial action on the budget this year, Our Alaska, Plan for Alaska, and Alaska's Future. You've heard some of the ideas. What do you think? Call and let our guests know if you have ideas of your own or what you'd like to see put forward. 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK, in the Anchorage area, 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org. Drew, your group, Our Alaska, raised $10,000 in a week to help push your message out. Were you surprised at how quickly people stepped up?
A little bit. We were, you know, very hopeful that we would be able to do that. But we were really pleased with the exceedingly positive response to, I think, a different tone for a very similar message that we've heard from a lot of folks in the state. And so, no, I think that, you know, we want to bring humor to a very difficult subject. And we were really pleased that Alaskans seem to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. You, of course, were doing things for a longer period of time than the week-long campaign and before you shot the video. What were some of the things that you were doing as maybe a less formalized group in the lead-up to that process?
Well, we've had a couple op-eds published in the ADN. Our group is pretty new and didn't initially form just with the budget in mind. We've got a sort of similar approach to wanting a strong, stable future and being a platform for young people to become engaged in the leadership of the state. And so I think that they just formed last summer. I only moved back to Alaska in December. I was down in D.C. for about 2 years. And so really the first set of engagement I had was helping to write the op-ed or sort of overarching position paper that says, you know, while we might have a diversity of viewpoints, these things at least we can agree on. And then the Kickstarter really was kind of our first big public thing where we reached outside of the group. Prior to that, it was more bringing in our friends and, you know, just people that we knew who we thought would be strong voices in moving Alaska forward.
And what's the plan for how you'll use this money? Are you going to be holding public meetings, primarily using social media, more videos?
Definitely, all of the above. One of our members, Ian Lang, was, I think, real involved with the budget balancing game from sort of its conception. And I think that's a great example of one of our members who's gone out and participated and partnered with other groups like ICER and Alaska's Future. And we're, you know, working with him. We've been presenting the game. Some of our members were just up in Kotzebue and had, I think, a really successful event there on Friday. I helped to partner with the Bear's Tooth and ICER and Leadership Anchorage to do the budget balancing game at the Bear's Tooth last week. And so, yeah, presentations of the game, more videos, that's what we're looking at.
When you do these presentations, what's the turnout like?
It's been pretty varied. I think, you know, we've gone from presenting to just individual community councils. I think we had 50 or 60 people at the Bear's Tooth. I think they had 60 or more people up in Kotzebue. They've been stranded in Kotzebue due to the volcano, so I haven't gotten the full debrief on that event yet. But yeah, it's been pretty varied, but we have seen, you know, we've been at least meeting our expectations of how many people we'd expect to come out depending on the venue. And we've had really positive responses where people seem to both enjoy it, find it very informative, and then look for ways to get involved afterwards.
Diane, Plan for Alaska, how are you undertaking the outreach campaign for this project that Rasmussen has undertaken? Where have you been?
I've been everywhere. That's how it feels. Friday, we had a town hall in Kenai. Thursday evening in Palmer. Wednesday in Fairbanks. Tuesday, we had the past governors and lieutenant governors come together and agree on 6 points about the budget. Monday, NAACP. Over the weekend, the Black Leadership Alliance, The Alliance, Anchorage Chamber, all in the last week. So,
wow,
here
in the
and
last
there.
Week.
Yes.
Wow, that is exhausting. But I think it's a good illustration of the level of concern that people have, that that it takes a lot of advocacy to really get that word out. What have you heard from people at the meetings that you've been to?
I would say that the trends have been these. First of all, people are very anxious to have a stable economy. Most of the people showing up at our events have been seniors, business people. We've had a fair number of community council, assembly people, mayors, people like that. But I would say small business people would be the dominant group that are showing up. Their main concern is a stable economy. And they are very concerned if the legislature doesn't make a decision this year on what the future looks like, it will continue a situation where the economy is unstable for another year, and nobody wants that. They want to know what's happening. They may not like individual strategies, but they'd like some certainty about what we will have. If you are own a hotel in Fairbanks, and there are hundreds of positions being eliminated at the University of Alaska and at the state, that's going to affect your business. If you have a restaurant, if you have a flower shop, and that's what we're hearing. The other thing is, almost everybody in every session, and we've had, you know, several hundred in Fairbanks, standing room only, same thing in Kenai. In every meeting, even with the Matsu Business Alliance, which is considered to be a pretty conservative group of business owners in perhaps the most conservative area in the state, when I ask the question, do you want to see the budget shortfall covered with just cuts, with a combination of cuts and new revenues, or just new revenues? In every forum, 99% say a combination of new revenues and cuts. So any legislator who says no cuts is completely out of step. And the reason people don't want it just cuts is they don't want to obliterate our economy right now. They don't want the amenities. They're not amenities. If to call a library an amenity is going a little bit far. We're hearing that. I have also asked the question at every forum, would you be satisfied with a $1,000 dividend next year? I don't think in all the sessions we've done, there have been more than a half dozen who have said no. So when people say, legislators or others, my district says don't touch my PFD, there are definitely people who say that. And clearly, depending on your circumstances economically, the PFD has more or less significance to your family. But most people are very willing to look at changes to the PFD. And that has been consistent with the research we did way back in July, and even more so as people gain more understanding of the budget situation.
That does sound like progress as far as people educating themselves and paying attention. understanding that no matter how deep the cuts would go, you can't get to sustainability and balancing the budget simply on cutting. And then there's the cumulative impact that that can have, which can affect the economy and other things happen.
In Fairbanks, Dick Randolph was one of the people in the audience. He's been a standard bearer for the libertarians for many, many years. And he stood up and said, I'm willing to pay an income tax. We've heard that all over the place. People would rather look at paying taxes than have a state. What this discussion is really about is what kind of Alaska do we want to have? For our families, for our kids, for our grandkids, that's what this is all about. So it means balancing what we're spending, because we cannot afford the government that we have right now, but doing that in a thoughtful way so there's the least impact in our quality of life and our economic certainties are put in place, which we don't have. Right now, we're not a good place for anyone to invest in because there's so much uncertainty about our economy.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Alaska's budget, and we have members of three groups with us today. Plan for Alaska, that's a project of the Rasmussen Foundation. Alaska's Future, which is a diverse group of folks, and Helvi Sandvig with NANA Development Corporation is here representing them. And also Our Alaska, which is a group of young professionals. Drew Kaysen is with us. Helvi, we're going to go to the phones in just a minute because they're starting to light up, which is good. But Helvi, I wanted to ask about how your group, Alaska's Future, is getting the word out that you're taking to the people. Where have you been, and what's been the reaction?
Well, like Diane and also Drew and his group, we've been canvassing the state, lots of presentations at different organizational meetings, you know, the Alliance, RDC, Chamber, down in Juneau, trying to get out as much as possible. We tried to, actually yesterday, I unfortunately flew around Alaska because of the volcano disrupted us. There was a group of us from a combination of Our Alaska representatives as well as Alaska's Future with the intention of holding a community meeting up in Barrow, similar to the one that was held up in Kotzebue on last Friday. Just getting out and trying to educate the public, talking to legislators, doing what we can, talking to the business community. All of this is, you know, you asked the question at the beginning, why not join forces? I think the reality is we all have a slightly different sphere of influence. And I think everybody is intending to try to get the word out, educate the public on what's going on, educate our legislators on what we're hearing, encouraging as many Alaskans as possible to understand the circumstance that we are in, to make it safe to make difficult decisions, because I think that's the reality. The elected officials need to understand that their constituency are asking them to make those difficult decisions. And so you hear that perspective from different people, different forums. I think all of it is good to be as inclusive as you possibly can be.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-478-8255 is the number to join the conversation. 1-800-478-8255 or locally 550-8422. 550-8422. We're going to go to the phones. And I don't see a name on the screen, but whoever they are is in Cordova.
Yes, good morning. This is Dave Otness in Cordova.
Hi, Dave.
And first of all, I'd like to state that perhaps this would have been a better format with somebody with competing viewpoints. The odds seem kind of stacked. Personally, I am livid about this. We're giving away oil tax credits. We're getting absolutely hammered by the oil companies, and nobody wants to talk about that. And what I'm seeing again and again, every time we have a crunch, here's the usual suspects stepping up to get into the permanent fund or do anything possible to sustain themselves at the expense of the little people in this state. Ms. Sandvik, you were one of them on SB 21, that fine deal that worked out so well for us right now that we're hemorrhaging money out of the state. You were there, your company was there in 1999, as were other Native corporations. Jim Jansen, Tony Knowles, all you people that presume to know better than the rest of us. We have a very differing opinion out here in the real world, and it is not anything like you guys are projecting. I mean, Ron Duncan, come on. All you people are very, very wealthy people.
Okay, let's let our guests have a chance to respond here. Thanks, Dave, for your comment. Helvi?
Yeah, I'll respond. The fact of the matter is 90% of the revenues that flow into this state that have been supporting state services come from the oil sector. We have an economy largely dependent on the natural resources industry. I think most Alaskans would like to see growth and diversification of our economy, but until things change, the fact of the matter is we are dependent on a natural resources sector. And yes, I was actively engaged in the dialogue about Senate Bill 21. We need to understand we are operating in a global economy where business is done. Companies have choices on where they're going to go in their economic decisions. And we need to ensure that there is a fair and appropriate tax structure in place in the state of Alaska. And at the time the dialogue was going on about what is the right type of tax structure to put into place in Alaska, Senate Bill 21 was out there, and I was very much supportive of that. To suggest that I'm a wealthy person is somebody who doesn't know me very well. I come from a village. My family is still there, still operating the small general store my grandfather started 85 years ago. I very much understand economic strains in this state, and particularly the perspective of a rural Alaskan. So I think I can speak from the perspective of rural Alaska. I currently live in an urban area, and I happen to work for a company that is very much engaged in the economy of this state and trying to encourage a healthy and long-term economy.
Dave raised an interesting and a valid point about the anger that some Alaskans have over SB 21. It barely survived the ballot initiative vote on it, and it has created a lot of dialogue, people thinking that it was a bad deal, that it favors the oil companies. Because of the price of oil crashing the way it has, everything's different now. What do you say in response to people who are now suspicious of what's going on, which makes it more difficult for them to get behind their state leaders to make sure that things get done?
Well, I think what we're facing now is really making it crystal clear and obvious that an economy that is dependent on commodity prices is going to be vulnerable. And I think at the time, the dialogue around what is a fair and appropriate tax structure was sound and balanced, and I still support the decisions made related to Senate Bill 21. I think what really has come to play is what happens when those commodity prices crash, and it really builds to the need for us to recognize that there is more to a sustainable economy than to be dependent on one sector. We need to look for ways to build a diverse economy. We need to look for ways to put into place a fair contribution from the companies that are investing in the state and wanting to develop resources. I think if any of us had a crystal ball at the time the dialogue was going on, and we would have predicted that the price of oil was going to fall to the $30 a barrel range, we may have thought about some other options. But I think here we are today. The price of oil is in the $35 range. I would hope that it will increase, but hope is not a strategy. Let's look to have a constructive and adult conversation about what other options do we have in the state? What are the things that we need to revisit about our spending? What are the options for additional revenue generation? And what can we do or might we do to take a look at the earning stream of the permanent fund investments to determine whether or not all of those things might contribute to a more stable future? And I think that's what we're here for.
Oil tax credits are the third line item on the state budget. That's huge. Diane, you wrote recently that there may have to be some refining of credits. What did you mean by that?
Right now, the oil tax credit program is upside down, so we're paying out more than the state is taking in, and it will need to be considered as one of the things that we do. It's also, as you say, a major line item in the budget, and I think the legislature will do something to change the oil tax credit program, and they should take a very close look at it. I will say on SB 21, Rasmussen certainly doesn't take a position on any legislation, and we didn't on that. However, I get asked a lot about that, the same question Mr. Otness asked, and I've gotten the research, and I believe what I have, and I think even people who were very much against SB 21, the vote on SB 21, agree. We'd actually be in worse in a worse situation now without SB 21 than we are with it. And I would challenge anyone who disagrees to prove it wrong. I'm certainly open to that, but that's my understanding right now.
All right. Drew, did you want to add something there?
Yeah, I just wanted to take a step back. And I understand David's frustration, but I think that if you look around, take a global perspective, oil economies around the world are facing a very similar situation. And you could entirely eliminate the oil tax credit program, 100%. You could, you know, increase taxes as much as, and to the point of entirely eliminating the profit margin from the oil companies. And just the reduction in the amount of oil moving through the pipeline and the reduction in price per barrel means that we can't simply solve our budget with oil. It's just not going to happen. So whatever your perspective on the oil tax credits or our oil tax regime, I think that, you know, we are actually in a genuinely very good position with regards to our per capita savings. The permanent fund is very large. Say what you will about our past spending patterns or our current spending, but we have put aside more than most other economies in a similar state as ours. And so I think that looking ahead, we're interested in Alaska's future, as they're aptly named. We see ourselves collectively as being stakeholders in Alaska, and we want to move ahead in as positive a way as possible for everybody involved. And I encourage David to take a really close look at the budget and look at what our revenues are and look at, you know, how much the oil companies are making. I would encourage him to look at those things, because I don't think the position that the oil tax credit program on its own, and it's a valid point of frustration for some folks, but that doesn't mean that you should close down other important aspects of a sustainable future.
All right, let's quickly go to one more call before we take a break. Elston is in Anchorage. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Very good discussion. I would just like to express my concern that the political process that's going on in Juneau right now is way out ahead of your policy discussions. And what we have are politicians on the Senate side who don't stand for election for another 2 years, most of them. Of the Senate Finance Committee, there is only one out of the eight who will be standing for election this year. The Senate Finance Committee has made in essence, a policy statement that this year they're going to spend down our savings, by the way, which we got through ACEs. They're going to spend down our savings, and they're going to cut the budget, creating recessionary consequences, and that's just the end of the story. And the House is the place where the action is, and I really don't see the leadership there in a position having either the will or the ideology to fight the Senate over this. So I'm telling you folks that the political process is going to foreclose a lot of the options that you want to discuss for Alaska's future. If they spend down our savings, and if they refuse to deal with the revenue side, and they don't take a look at those tax credits, your activities are interesting but moot.
All right. Well, thank you, Elston. That's why these folks are out in the community talking to Alaskans and bringing their message to them about the need for action this year on the budget. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a lot more calls as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Wells Fargo, extending its support of Alaska residents beyond banking by supporting the programming of public radio throughout Alaska, giving back to the community. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far.
Alaska's Tobacco Quitline reminds you that 88% of Alaskans don't allow smoking in their home. A smoke-free environment helps prepare kids for a healthier life and a future free from tobacco. And it makes good economic sense. Secondhand smoke damages property, decreasing its value. Exposure to its toxins lead to disease and increased medical costs. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW or enroll online at alaskaquitline.com. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Quitline.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are going to go back to the phones because we have lots of callers waiting to weigh in. Mark is in Anchorage. Hi, Mark.
Hi, this is Mark. I couldn't really hear.
Yes. Hi, Mark. Did you have a question?
Yes, I did. I had a question, comment, more of a comment. I am very willing to support an income tax or additional revenues. Both from kind of a community standpoint of the success and the economic stability of our community and of our state, and also from a personal standpoint. I've worked in the oil industry for many, many years, and I'm not going to get into the issue of tax credits necessarily, but the oil industry both here, and I just returned from Calgary, Alberta, a very similar oil province or state like Alaska, and the industry over there has died, completely died. And my concern is if we don't balance the budget with additional revenues, we're all going to lose, both from an educational standpoint, our house values are going to fall. So I'm scared to death that the legislature is going to, on an ideological grounds, drive us off of a cliff. And that's what I foresee happening. I was here in 86, where my $120,000 house was valued at $22,000 after the 86 crash. And my gosh, I would hope that that would not be forced to happen again by the Kellys and Dunleavys and others who are against revenues.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your comments, Mark. We appreciate the call. We're going to go next to Sunny in Southeast. Hi, Sunny.
Hey, so I wanted to make a comment as well, but there's some interesting things that me and other folks in Southern Southeast have discussed, and one of them is, well, I think, like, with the PFD, that should be limited to full-time residents, and they should get rid of that whole giving people, like, 6 months to go on vacation, because I think that just allows them to have another life down there. And another thing, one thing that's always bothered me a lot is how a lot of folks from Washington and down south come up here seasonally, and they take a lot of good jobs, and then they take that money, and they go back down with it. And also, I wanted to say, I think this is a great opportunity for us, this whole recession thing, because it's bringing us together. And I would like to see more Alaskans getting together and discussing our options. And I think we should look at other regions and countries that are similar to us and learn from their actions. I think we should also focus on what makes community great and use the power of community to replace the responsibility of the state. I think we need more community gardens, kitchens, and housing. I think community volunteerism could balance a money-based economy. We basically need more community-owned businesses, I think. And most of all, I think we need, I don't think we need to sell our finite natural resources. I think we need a sustainable economy that doesn't focus on personal wealth. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have written down that I try to remember what I wanted to share.
All right.
But yeah, I think we should definitely take advantage of this great opportunity and, you know, try to move together as a community.
All right. Thank you, yeah. Sunny. That's a pretty sunny perspective on things, coming together during a time of crisis. And that's a really positive spin on what we're looking at currently. Reactions to some of the calls that we've just had?
I think in terms of what I heard, it's consistent with what I'm hearing and seeing around the state. I think most people are saying, let's not waste this fiscal crisis by not changing the way we do business in our state, getting rid of waste in our government, and depending on one source of revenue to fund everything we have. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people feel a sense of responsibility, and they're willing to pay for the things that they want.
Drew.
Yeah, and I mean, I just want to say that I'm really encouraged by people, you know, want, I completely agree that we should talk with each other and be looking for solutions, and that we should be sort of individually talking to the legislator, in particular your legislators, you know, let them hear your voice. And so, yeah, no, I think that all those things are very positive, and that's exactly what we're hoping for.
And Helvey.
Yeah, likewise. To me, it's really refreshing getting the different perspectives, but really empowering different perspectives to be heard. Creating forums for people to express their points of view. And when more people become involved, I think ultimately you have more buy-in in the solutions that are created and you help the legislature do their job.
All right. Mike is in Homer. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. Not a question. I just want to say that this state has been running on oil for a long time and it's over with. You got to realize that no matter if the oil prices quadruple, it ain't going to be like it was 20 years ago. And we need taxes in this state. We are the lowest tax state in the country and the highest, most expensive place to live. Now, if any law legislature who doesn't vote for an income tax, but votes to take away the permanent fund or gradually strip it away, I will never vote for again. And I think any legislator who does not vote for an income tax is not doing their duty and should resign right now. And also the oil companies have made billions and billions and billions of dollars of profit off this state. And this state does not required to keep making sure they make billions more. I think we should start cutting them loose. I think the state is still run by the, what they call it, the Corrupt Bastards Club is still running this state and giving away to the oil. It's got to stop.
All right. Well,
no more.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike, for your comments and your perspective on what we need to do going forward. There are some bills looking at doing some of these things. Senate Bill 114, Senator McGuire's bill that seeks to restructure the permanent fund. And Governor Walker wants to essentially drive all savings accounts, future oil revenue into the permanent fund, into the corpus of the permanent fund, and try to build that up enough to sort of endow government going forward. What are your thoughts about these ideas for restructuring the permanent fund? Helvey.
Well, yeah, I can speak. Alaska's future doesn't really support any specific plan, but I think the notion underlying all of those ideas is the right notion. We need to reduce spending. We need to look for new revenue-generating sources, and we need to look at the earnings of the permanent fund. In fact, if we don't look to the earnings of the permanent fund, we don't think there is sufficient movement that can be accomplished through cuts and or revenue-generating options alone. And so the group is, our group is talking about we really need to recognize that we have to look to pulling some of the earnings of the permanent fund investments to help us balance this budget or make a huge dent in the deficit. Senate Bill 114, Senate Bill 128, all of those bills all work towards that direction. You know, the devil's in the detail, and we as an organization don't support any one specific plan other than the notion that we absolutely need to look to some of the earnings. And we also do acknowledge and point out that we really also need to maintain some form of permanent fund dividend program for, you know, that's very critical to this state and particularly to those residents that are at a very economically vulnerable place. And so we're saying our position is draw from the permanent fund earnings stream, maintain a permanent fund dividend program of some sort, and look to look for some cuts and other revenue generating options.
There's also other legislation that's coming forward. Senate Bill 208 was put forward yesterday. It would cut state-sponsored scholarships, college scholarships. There's also Senate Bill 210, 207, 209 that would kind of do multiple things. Reduce revenue sharing, make municipalities pay more of the retirement debt. Is this the kind of action that you're hoping for? Do you think that this is moving in the right way, or are you feeling a sense of urgency that this is not enough? Diane?
I think the Senate and the House both deserve a lot of credit for having made some very tough choices on the budget. They cut $500 million last year. Most people don't know that, but they did. And I actually just wrote a piece outlining some of those because when, you know, there are still probably a quarter of people in Alaska who say, solve the budget problem with cuts only. I don't believe it can be done. But one of the reasons about that is people have not felt those cuts that were already made. The additional cuts this session are tough ones, and people will be feeling them. At my Easter dinner on Sunday, one of the people there got their pink slip from the Department of Commerce, you know, a laborer there. So it's not that people are not being laid off. There are 500 and some odd fewer butts and seats in the state. These are not vacancies that weren't filled. These are actual people who got pink slips. If you add the university and the railroad, it's 1,000 people who are not working who were a year ago. What has not been taken up yet is the revenue options, and they have to be. And one, your caller mentioned the income tax. The reason it's so important to look at the income tax is the permanent fund cuts disproportionately impact lower-income people, and a sales tax would disproportionately impact lower-income people. The only balancer that's on the table right now is an income tax. So, for example, right now with the governor's plan, if you have a very, very small income tax or no income tax, as some legislators are talking about, you're looking at the lowest 20% earners in the state getting 10-12% cut out of their family income, and the highest 1% getting 1% cut out of their income. And I think that's some of the concern that you heard from the caller, is there needs to be some evening of the playing field. And really the only strategy to do that is an income tax, because then people with more income pay more, and people who earn if their family is $60,000 or under, will pay almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. And Drew?
I just want to briefly step out of my role as a spokesperson for Our Alaska and into that of a UAA alumnus. And I think that I just want to say that I think that our investments in the university are just totally worth it. Whether it's leveraging the money we put in with getting more money from outside in terms of research dollars or educating people in Alaska, I think that it is an entirely worthwhile investment. I feel like I got a great education at UAA. I participated in the Seawolf debate team and got to travel around the world. And so I just, the university system is near and dear to my heart. And so I think that that's a good example of a cut that I personally don't think is a good idea. I think there are cuts that we can make that make the state worse off. Whether it's, you know, harming the economy by more than we're sort of saving it in terms of reducing taxes or whatever. And so That's my personal opinion.
Well, it's interesting. This is a good illustration of how difficult this conversation is, because there's not even, you know, you've even got a perspective outside of the group that you're advocating for that might be contrary to some of those thoughts within the group. So this is a tough conversation, but it's certainly one that needs to be had and is worth having. And wow, we are going to go to Tom in Anchorage right now. Hi, Tom.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
The notion of using the permanent fund directly, the assets, is contrary to this notion of wanting to diversify the economy and to have it run on its own independent of income, because that's the one source that is actually not a source of supplementing the economic engine in Alaska that isn't wholly dependent upon oil prices. And instead of funding the government with the permanent fund and making Alaskans dependent upon state government, the state government should tax the income generated by circulation of the permanent fund through the economy. And that could be best accomplished by issuing the permanent fund in a debit card that can only be spent with a vendor who has an Alaska tax ID number. I took the Gunnar Knapp ICER game program to redistribute Alaska's wealth. And they didn't, it was pretty much rigged. They didn't have a corporate income tax that could be raised. I think we need to, you know, raise the corporate income tax, lower the tax, the production tax credits for oil, institute a carbon tax, institute a personal income tax, and a seasonal sales tax that didn't tax food or medicine. Both the income tax and the seasonal sales tax would disproportionately fall on people from out of state, which do not pay anything now towards the resources in Alaska that they use. They use our roads, they use our police, they use a lot of our facilities, our ports, our airports. And these people need to pay taxes.
Okay, Tom, thank you so much for your comments. We have a lot of calls stacked up here. I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but we need to keep moving. Tom is advocating for a wide range of options, different taxes, some ideas with the permanent fund check. And one thing he mentioned was people who come from out of state. Tourism is, when we talk about the future and trying to diverse the economy, tourism is important, but it's certainly not going to make up a significant amount of the difference. What can we do to help further diversify what we have right now, which right now we're so dependent on oil? Are there options that your groups are looking at that you would advocate for the future to help stabilize the economy by diversifying it somewhat? Diane?
Well, 49 other states have figured out you've got to have a broad-based tax. We're the only state that doesn't have one. And there's a reason for that. It is the way to keep the economy stable. And we don't have that. When you have a single source of income for everything you have in the state, you get what we have, which is volatility that is contrary to inviting investment in the state. And that's what we've got now. So if we don't fix this, we will continue to be an unattractive place for investors to operate.
All right, let's go to Matt in Sitka. Matt?
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of weeks ago, a guy named Chuck Cesara, who's an old-timer who was originally in, I think he was in the first legislature, and he had an interesting criticism or something really heartfelt. He's a great storyteller. And he said, when we, in the early days in statehood, we were working together, at different rates to move the state in a certain direction. And he said, this legislature, what's going on now, is so partisan, so ideologue, that they don't work together. And they're totally missing an action on this. There's no way we can cut our way to a balanced budget. We have to do something else. I was really touched by what he had to say. He was almost in tears when he was saying it. His book's called Chuck Cesara's Alaska's Propellers, Politics, and People. Put a plug in for it. But I'm really disturbed by our legislature. I think that they are not doing their job. They're doing a disservice to the people of Alaska, and they're digging a deeper hole for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt, for the call. We are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will hear more about Alaskans' ideas on how to get the budget situation resolved as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Condor Airlines, with nonstop service from Ted Stevens International Airport to Germany and beyond. More information available on condor.com. Condor, born to fly. At Alaska Pacific University, you will be inspired by the beauty of Alaska, motivated by devoted faculty, and surrounded by independent-minded, creative students pursuing their higher education goals. There's no time like the present to find out what they are all about. It's time to experience APU. Hashtag, this is our classroom. This message sponsored by Alaska Pacific University.
We had an email question from someone who said they have lived here for 50 years and doesn't want to see services decimated. It's time to pay taxes for services, not for big projects, but services, and wanted to know what they could do to help get the message out. Do you think that the six mega projects that were put on hold but then were brought back online, should those be back on hold? Do you have any thoughts about that, or are you staying away from that political hot potato?
Well, it's a
healthy.
Never stay away from political hot potatoes. But you know, it's a real difficult decision. While we are looking for ways to reduce our spending, while we're looking for ways to generate more revenue, while we're looking for ways to bridge a budget gap, we also have to recognize you still need to prepare for and invest in the future. And you know, not any different than when you're raising your family. You know, you need to manage today's costs, and you need to try to figure out how to create a path for the future. And so, you know, some of those mega projects may in fact be the solution to the economic diversification strategies that we have. But to the question the person raised on the email, what can we do to get our message across? I think one of the things, you know, crisis does compel action. And one of the actions that you're hearing and seeing, you know, we have three different representatives here today from different groups of Alaskans that are out there encouraging dialogue, encouraging discussion, educating everyone to the circumstances that we're in, and to try to encourage individuals to reach out. Let your legislators know what you think. Send them an email, you know, write a letter, you know, get out there and let them let your views be heard. It is only if you speak out that the legislators will have the ability to take your perspective into consideration as they're trying to craft the strategies that they're working on.
Diane, what do you think the beyond Plan for Alaska, what do you think the role of foundations and nonprofits such as Rasmussen and others should be now going forward?
I think what we can do, because we're limited as a private foundation in terms of supporting or opposing candidates or specific legislation, is to provide as much information as we can to individual Alaskans so that they can make good decisions and advise their legislators. We have also become aware that the legislators have very little data to work with in terms of making decisions on all of the different taxes, the mining tax, the fisheries tax, tobacco tax, alcohol tax, oil tax credits. There's a group that's against every single one of those. Nobody wants to be singled out, but I think if you package it all together, then everybody will be in together. When you try and take these strategies one at a time, you know, fishermen don't want to be the only ones who end up getting taxed. But legislators do not have data, so when someone walks in and says, if you pass this fuel tax, it's going to do XYZ to the economy, they don't have data to look at that. So that's one of the things we're doing, is we've commissioned independent data to look at the impact of all of these revenue proposals and also on the cut side to see who will be impacted. And that's something we're going to need for the long term in our state as we move forward and try and make good decisions.
All right. We're going to go to Soldotna now. Penny is in Soldotna. Hi, Penny. Did you have a question? We've only got a few minutes left.
And I basically what I wanted to say is thank you to all the people who were there and the efforts that you're putting forth. I don't know if people realize how much you've done, and especially thank you to the young man who spoke about education, because you need to have an educated society in order to move forward, and so we need to educate our young people. But my comment and my question is so forth. I think we need to be sustainable, fair, and appropriate, and I learned a lot from Diane on Friday when she was down here with the people, Plan for Alaska. But I think we need to have a tax structure that has progressive that's progressive. I think we need to have a sustainable sources of revenue that, so we don't depend on oil. And so some of the things I think we should do is reinstate an income tax that's progressive so that the lowest level and the highest level pay proportionately, tax all working individuals, have a sales tax. We have the lowest sales tax, and we don't have an income tax. I'd like to see us reinstate the $10 education tax that was here in 1977 when I moved here. I'd like us to use our permanent fund earnings carefully so that we do not eliminate our safety net. And I think we need to look at oil tax credits. And I totally agree with Elton, and I also totally agree with Diane that we need to package and distribute what the tax cuts might be so that everybody receives fair and equitable tax cuts. So my question to you is, how do we encourage people and really encourage them? It takes time to write or to call or to testify at an LIO office. So how do we do that so people feel empowered? Because our young people are empowered. I've been reading what they've been doing and what they've been getting together with oil, climate change, and everything. How do we empower people to take the 5 minutes or the 30 minutes to write something or speak something? So that's my question.
All right, Penny, thank you so much. I would say that you're a great advocate for that yourself. Any quick thoughts here on that?
I'd just say that I've been incredibly encouraged by the level of interest and engagement that we've seen. And I really hope that people, I think talking to one another, you've got a lot of close relationships with Alaskans just by dint of being an Alaskan. And so spend time, talk about it, and keep an open mind. I think that, you know, express your opinion and then be look to be critical of it.
Helvi, I wanted to ask you quickly in our final minute here, you're from rural Alaska. Do you think that that what's going to be happening with cuts and possible reductions to the permanent fund distribution, the PFD, and the resulting potential impact on the economy in rural Alaska will have a disproportionate impact in rural communities as opposed to urban centers? How do you see that?
Well, I think, you know, there is no way about it. You know, already, people in rural Alaska are at a significantly more challenged position. For example, where I'm from, Northwest Alaska, the cost of living is 60% higher than it is here in Anchorage. So already, there's a disproportionate impact. But no doubt about it, any changes in the state spending, you know, reduction, you know, how do you cut the state budget in a way that doesn't impact rural Alaska? We only have runways in my village. What are you going to do? Stop plowing the snow on Tuesdays and Thursdays? You know, that you know, there's the solutions you have in rural Alaska are a real challenge. And you know, there are no easy solutions. And in my view, a sales tax hurts so small communities. A state sales tax, that's all they have. And they don't have tourists out there to make a great contribution. So real limited options in rural Alaska.
All right. Well, thank you so much to my guests today, Diane Kaplan with Plan for Alaska, Helvi Sandvig with Alaska's Future, and Drew Kaysen with Our Alaska. Thanks to our engineer, Dave Waldron, Josh Edge on phones, and next week we'll hear from the governor and lawmakers on the budget. I'm Lori Townsend. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by Arctic Wire Rope and Supply, stocking rope, chain, and boat anchors from 5 to 3,000 pounds on the web at arcticwirerope.com, and by First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. The Salmon Project is all about the ways Alaskans' lives are supported by salmon. Their vision is for a future where Alaskans continue to be strong, nourished, and connected through Alaska's salmon resource. Learn more and be a part of the project, including the regular fund competitions. Our lives are salmon lives. Learn more at salmonproject.org. This message sponsored by the Salmon Project. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.